Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 1, please. Mark chapter number 2, please. Mark chapter number 2 in your Bible. Oh, it's a joy to be here. Oh, it's a good to see you here. Trust you'll pray for Cam. I really mean that. We need your prayers next week. A junior camp is one of my favorite camps. I like them all, but juniors are my favorite. I can get right down to my intellectual level with juniors. And so you pray that they might comprehend, they might respond, and above all, the Spirit of God might do a wonderful, wonderful work. I preached at a camp in Illinois now 42 years. And last time I was there, which would have been 2 years ago, a young man come and got saved. And that's when he came up to me and he said, you know my dad. He told me who his dad was. I said, yeah, your dad's a pastor. He said, yeah. He said, my dad got saved when you preached at this camp. He said, now, you know my grandpa, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. He said, my grandpa dedicated his life to the ministry when you preached at this camp. That counts for something. Well, they're just kids. No, they're not just kids. Something Christ says worth dying for. And we ought to treat junior camp serious. It's not all fun and games. The Bible's preached. God moves and decisions are made. Look at your Bible. Mark chapter number 1. I'll begin reading with verse number 1. Again, he heard it into Capernaum. After some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, men were gathered together in so much as there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. In Mark chapter number 2, you find a fantastic revival. Now, there are four things that make this a great revival. Number 1, first of all, there are tremendous crowds. Look in your Bible at verse number 2. Straightway, Mary got together in so much as there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. Understand that? The place is packed and jammed. The crowd outside is so great. And they could not even get near the door. Number 1, there's tremendous crowds. Number 2, we find that folk are saved. Look in your Bible at verse number 5. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That is Bible salvation. Number 3, thirdly, we find that God was glorified. Look in your Bible at verse number 12. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God. Number 4, fourth thing makes this a great revival is the agnostics were amazed. Follow that statement. The agnostics were amazed. Look in your Bible at verse number 7. Why is this man that speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? That's the agnostic. I'm telling your Bible to verse number 12. Immediately he rose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed. That includes the agnostics. They were all amazed and glorified God. What a great revival. Tremendous crowds. Folks being saved. God is glorified. The agnostics are amazed. Now here's the good news. Follow me. God does not just tell us what happened. He tells us why it happened. He tells us why Heritage Baptist Church this could happen. Three great thoughts. Number 1. First of all, there must be communication. Look in your Bible at verse 1. Communication. Again, here at the Capernaum, after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. The world says, no news is good news. World says, what a man doesn't know can't hurt him. God said, no news is bad news. What a man does not know may eternally damn him. Bible says, how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Get it. Nobody ever got saved till somehow someone told them how to get saved. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I don't care how big a burden you have, how many tears you shed, how heavy your heart is. That unsaved person you're concerned about cannot get saved. He opened your mouth and tell him how to get saved. I was preaching in Latham, Illinois, a little tiny town. I got there late due to a snowstorm. And when I come in, I had Sunday school just started, and the guy up front said, okay, who do we pray for? A guy raised his hand and said, pray for Jack. Most wicked guy in town is Jack. Pray for Jack. We prayed for Jack. For the morning service, the deacon's meant to pray. Who we pray for? Deacon said, man, we ought to pray for Jack. He's the scourge of the town. And we had a good service. I pressed it out, went out to lunch Monday night, got back to the church. I said, preacher, who's this Jack everybody's talking about? He said, come to my desk. I went to his desk, door on my right shoulder, I did. He said, in the White House, over the fence, that's where Jack lives. He said, tell me about Jack. He said, preacher, Jack's a womanizer. He's an adulterer. He's a drunkard, a drug addict. He said, "What? Jack's wife's a great Christian. But I got an idea, preacher. Let's go see him." He said, "What? Let's go see him." I said, "Just cross the street." He said, "I'll go under one condition. What's that?" He said, "If you'll talk to him, I'll go." I said, "Okay." So we go over. Now, the pastor's a man of great faith. We go across the street, knock on the door. Jack's wife opened the door, and pastor said, "Jack's not home, is he?" She said, "Yes, he is." But she said, "Jack came home early. He has the flu." Well, and they got pastor said, "We'll come back later." She said, "Wait, please." Turned around. Said, "Honey, the evangelist and the pastor are here. You want to talk to him?" "Yeah," I said, "send him in." We walked in. Jack's sitting on the couch. Got his feet on the couch. He's putting his feet around. I sat down by him. I said, "Now, Jack, understand you got the flu. If you don't want to talk, I'll come back later." He said, "No, I'm going to talk to you." I said, "Okay." I said, "Jack, simple question. If you were to die, do you know you'd go to heaven?" He said, "I don't know who you've been talking to, but I know I'd go to hell, since so does everybody else in this town." Well, I said, "Jack, you intend to go to hell?" He said, "No, I don't want to go to hell. I'm no idiot." I said, "Okay, can you take your Bible and show you how to get saved?" I said, "Okay, go ahead." I told Jack four things. Number one, we're all sinners, especially those that run the city waterworks. Amen. That's preaching there. Okay. Number two, I point out to Jack, he broke in God's law. You break a law, you pay a price. I said, "Jack, you pay the price, the big price. It's hellfire." I want to tell you something, Jack. If you'll accept Christ, he'll change your life and change your destiny. If you want to go on living in sin, messing up your marriage, getting drunk, then forget it. If you're sincere, Christ can save you and change you. I said, "Now, right here, right now, you want to get saved. Want to pray with me and accept Christ?" He said, "Let's do it." I said, "Okay, let's do it." We knelt down. He prayed and received Christ. We got up. I said, "Okay, Jack, now, I understand you got the flu." He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Pray for me. I've been sitting beside you." "Okay," but I said, "Anyway, okay, now, Jack, here's the deal. You want to come to revival this week. They'll sing some songs I preach. Close the service. You got to walk down the aisle, make it public. You got saved. Folks have prayed for you. Other people witnessed to you." I said, "Jack, you want to make it public?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got the flu, but I got a thought." I said, "What?" He said, "Will it be okay if I come tonight and sit in the lobby?" He didn't know big words like vestibule. He said, "Come tonight and sit in the lobby." He said, "Well, the service is," he said, "tonight, could I walk down the aisle and tell the people I got saved?" I said, "I don't know why not, buddy. You can do it." He said, "You're not. What else?" I said, "You ought to be baptized." He said, "Preacher, I don't want to get in that baptistry tonight. I might, what's the word to use?" He said, "I might defile the baptistry if I get sick of it tonight." I said, "Okay, sometime we'll baptize." I said, "Okay, what else?" I said, "Every day, read your Bible." He said, "Where do I start?" "John's Gospel." "Every day, read one chapter, every day. Will you do it?" He said, "I'll do it." I said, "Number four, pray, just talk to God." He said, "I'll do that, Pastor. I'll give you my word." Okay, I said, "Jack, one more question. How come you never got saved right here, right now, tonight?" He said, "That's simple. Nobody ever told me how to get saved to right here, right now, tonight." Hear me. They could have prayed till they wore the knees of their pants out. They could have prayed till they wore grooves in a hardwood floor. And Jack would never got saved till somebody told him how to get saved. That, my friend, is what the Great Commission is all about. But in your life, it's not the Great Commission. It's the Great All Mission. You never share the gospel. Then you wonder why they don't get saved. Number one, first of all, communication. Number two, cooperation. Look at your Bible, verses 3 and 4. "Come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy." That means he was paralyzed, born of four. "They did not come nigh to him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, lay down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he sent the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" Now, here's a guy that's paralyzed, okay? Now, follow me here. Thank God he had some friends. Thank God he had four friends. What's the deal here? They bring the man to where Jesus is. The crowd outside is so great, they can't get in the door. "Hey, we got an idea. What? Let's get him up on the roof, break a hole in the roof, tie ropes around the cot, let him down." That's what they did, and Christ healed the man and saved the man. But here's the point. One man couldn't have got him there. One man couldn't have got him on the roof. It's doubtful if two guys could. Here it is, because four people worked together. Right now, tonight, there's a man in heaven. The Bible defies mathematics. Your Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight. I see the wheel spinning. Okay? If one puts 1,000 to flight, how many do two put to flight? One will put 1,000 to flight. Hear the Bible. Two will put 10,000 to flight. What are you saying, preacher? When God's people cooperate, everybody gets involved, the power of God is not added to. The power of God is greatly multiplied when God's people work together. The greatest winning church in history, the book of Acts, six times, you read this phrase, they were everybody, with one accord in one place. Everybody's praying. Everybody's witnessing. Everybody's giving out tracts. My friend, like an army, they swept the gates of hell. Why? Because there were no loafers. There were no slackers. There were no spectators. Everybody was involved. And my friend, that you say, I don't matter. You do matter. You do matter. You sit home, you cut out part of the power of God in Heritage Baptist Church. That's why it's so important. Everybody gets involved. Some years ago now, I was in Michigan with a friend of mine, Wayne Defoe. And Brother Defoe said, a wonderful woman comes to my church. She said, her husband's not saved. He said, well, go make some calls. I said, okay. He said this. He said, we won't go now because he's not home. He had a handful of visitation cards. I said, okay, we got in the car. I saw one card, excuse me, five cards stapled together. A number of calls have been made there. I said, okay. I said, tell me, Pastor Defoe. I said, who's this Herald guy? He said, I got a mistake. That's the guy I'm talking about. He said, we won't go there. He's probably not home. We had nine calls. We found one man home pulling out of the driveway. I'll go back into town. But the folks said, let's maybe Harold's home. We'll see. Went to Harold's house, knocked on the door. Wife opened the door. I said, Harold home? No, but come in. We went inside. We're talking to her. She's concerned about her husband. Now, watch what happened. While we're talking, the house starts shaking. The windows start rattling. At first, I thought it was probably just a Ford going by. But the noise got louder and louder. I looked out. I want to put this politically correct, okay? I saw an obese individual astride of a two-wheel mode of transportation. But that's what you understand. What I saw was a great big fat guy sitting on a motorcycle, okay? It pulled me out. I got open the door. In come Harold. He sat down. Where the fool said, Harold, I brought me the mark here today. Open the Bible and show you how to get saved. Harold said, nope. Brother Defoe's a little guy, 125 pounds. I like to go call them with big guys. I don't care if they are obese. I like to go call them with big guys. Anyway, and Brother Defoe said, hell, you didn't understand. I brought Brother Mark here to give you the gospel, keep you from screaming in hell. Sit there and listen. Harold said, nope. He said, Harold, before you have against Brother Mark, you never met him. Harold sat there, please listen. Harold said, nope. Brother Defoe said, why can't Brother Mark show you how to get saved? He said, preacher, I ain't got no education, but I'm no dummy. He said, everybody in your church has been out here banging on my door. I asked him, they came in to open the Bible, show me how to get saved. Harold, you want to get saved? I say, no. Next week, here comes two more reinforcements. Preacher, everybody in your church has been out here. I'm no ignoramus. I know how to get saved. Brother Foe said, when are you going to do it? So I told my wife last night in bed. She told me about the revival. And one of my friends getting saved. Said, preacher, I'll be honest. I think I'm ready to get saved right now. But he said, nobody's got to show me how. I know how. He said, okay, show us how and do it. Couldn't believe it. That big guy got on his knees. I couldn't let him in a better prayer. He told God what a filthy sinner he was. He was thankful that Jesus died for him. He asked Christ to be his Savior. When he got through praying, he stood up and sat down. Harold, I said, what happened? He said, I got Jesus right here. That's a pretty good testimony. Amen. And Brother Foe said, Harold, when I come to church sometime, walk down the aisle and make it public. He said, okay, I'll do that. He said, you know, I've been drunk in public. I guess it wouldn't be all bad if I walked down the church aisle and let the folks know I've changed sides and I've accepted Jesus Christ. But listen, that's floating. You don't walk. Well, at your size, you might. But most of us, we float out to the car, okay? Now, we float out to the car, and we get in. And we're rejoicing. I picked up the cards. Ready? Started counting. 47 teams of two. Went to that guy's house. Knocked on the door. Want to get saved, Harold? No! The 48th team comes. Number 95 and 96. The guy gets saved. Now, why? Because the last two were handsomer? Without a doubt, that's true. That is not the reason the man got saved. And you understand this. Here we go. Is not my word like a hammer, God said. Glory to God. Harold, do you want to get saved? No. 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 And the word of God hammered and hammered and broke his heart, broke his will, and he drove him to Jesus Christ. You go on visitation, nothing happens. You say, oh, hum. It's not oh, hum. God's hammer has worked on that visitation call. And maybe God's be praying that soul someday in the future. Somebody else might have the glory. But you'll share the reward. Someone comes and finds Christ. Number three. The third thing I found here is determination. Here they are. They got a friend. Can't walk. Well, what are they going to do? Let's get him to Jesus. Now look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Verses number, look, I'll give you a second here. Look at verse number. Verse number three. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Jesus saw their faith and said to them, sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, here are four guys. They carried a buddy. Oh, man. No way. No. Can't get through that crowd. No. Well, you know what? We gave it the old college try. That's all we can do. He's our buddy. Oh, he's our pal. Yeah, but I guess we'll just let him go to hell. Thank God that man didn't have friends like that.
Amen.
His friends were real friends. His friends were determined. We'll pay the price. We'll do the energy. We'll do whatever it takes. We want to bring our friend to Jesus Christ. That is determination, friend. That's why I witnessed to him one time. They said, no, that's it. That's devil talk. That's not it. As long as they got a breath in their body and their ears can hear, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Go back to the same house. Knock on the same door. Open the same Bible. The key to getting folks saved is what? Being persistent in this matter of witnessing. I was in Holmes, Iowa, not a big town at all. Revival broke out. I preached Sunday morning, had them bow their head. I said, okay, not sure you're saved. Well, I pray for you. Raise your hand. Your church running 100. Seven people raised their hand. First two hands I saw in the back row on my right. A nice looking lady. Her husband was with her. Great big guy. Had a big bushy beard. They raised their hand to get saved. So, okay, we'll sing a song. Want to get saved? Come and tell Pastor Forsberg. We sang. Four folks come to get saved. A couple I mentioned did not respond. I'm at the back door afterwards shaking hands, and they come up. And I shook hands with the lady. I shook hands with the guy. He said, want to know something? I said, what? Tonight we're coming back here, he said. And tonight we're getting saved. I said, I got a better idea. Let's go in that room right there. In ten minutes, I can show you both how to get saved. Here's what he said. He wasn't saved yet, but he had to be a Baptist, okay? Here's what he said. He said, nope, I'm not missing lunch to get saved. That's Baptist language, amen? That's what he said. I said, okay, he said, now here's the deal. I'm no liar. Tonight we're coming back, and tonight we're getting saved. I said, well, okay, I'll pray for you. A teenage boy come up, wanted to talk to me. We're in the back room. We come out a second time. I saw this guy leaving the church. I went to the pastor, and I said, Brother Forsberg, I talked to the big guy at the door. They're coming back tonight and getting a safe. He said, no, they aren't. They got in the car, drove 2 blocks down the street, turned around and come back, walked into church. They said, are you the head honcho here, Brother Forsberg? Well, they said, I'm the pastor. So we need to get saved. He said, good. No, not now. I told that other guy, we're not missing lunch to get saved. We want to get saved. He said, if I draw you a map, will you come to our house this afternoon and show us how to get saved? He said, I will. He went out, they got saved, come that night, walked down the aisle, come every night. On Thursday night, he brought 6 co-workers, 4 of them got saved. I mean, it was a powerful meeting. I talked to him Friday before the service, and I said, let me ask you now, who invited you to revival? He said, oh, brother. You know Mrs. Wilson? I said, yeah. Mrs. Wilson was 500 years old, as big about as this microphone. When she talked in a whisper. Yeah, I said, I know her. We entered her house one day. Well, the rocket said, I work for the railroad, have a big repair center here at Holmes. He said, when I transferred here, the only house was right next to her. He said, that woman almost drove us nuts. Said, something wrong with her feet. Wears an old-time, high-heel, tie-up shoes. Said, here I am. You can hear her coming a block off. Said, what am I doing? I'm on the porch reading my paper. Here she comes. Up on the porch. Held the paper up high. That woman grabbed my paper. Ripped it in half. Looked me right in the eye. She said, Albert, if you don't repent, you're going to hell fire. Grandma back home. He said, last summer, I'm under the car changing my oil. I thought, maybe I'm safe here. He said, I looked over. There she is, upside down looking at me. Said, Albert, you need Christ. Get saved, Albert. Turned around, goes back home. Preacher said, last Saturday did it. Said, before noon, she came to our house 4 times, knocked on our door to remind us about revival. We don't forget the revival. Make sure we come to revival. Said, the 4th time, I opened the door and said, hold it, freeze, don't move. I'll tell you this one time. Tomorrow we're coming to your church 1 time, only 1 time, never again. Go home, never come knocking on our door again. Goodbye, have a horrible day. And I slammed the door. He said, preacher, we got saved Sunday morning. Because we had a little old neighbor woman who was determined to keep us out of hell. I went to that lady and I said, ma'am, I'm so proud of you. I said, he got saved because you didn't give up. You wouldn't quit. You wouldn't. He said, preacher Mark, what kind of Christian would I be? With a neighbor 90 foot from my front door, die and go to hell, not even try and get him saved. What kind of Christian would I be? Jesus talked about that. 2 great commandments. Number 1, love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might. The 2nd greatest commandment. Don't be a pedophile. Don't commit adultery. Don't get drunk. Jesus said, the 2nd greatest commandment is namely this. You're to love your neighbor. Who? Your neighbor. As yourself. We play a game in our Baptist churches that nauseates God. Here it is. Hey, let's send money. Missionary supplies across the sea. Let's save the heathen. I believe in that. I give to that. Wait a minute. The same greatest commandment is not foreign missions. It's 90 foot from your front door. You ought to love your neighbor. If your neighbor does not know how to get saved, you've broken the 2nd greatest commandment in this book. Well, what could God do? What could God do? We can take the Bible seriously. Make the effort. Get out of track. Knock on our door. Find the church. God help us. God can still save people. But here it is. Well, we need God to amaze us once again like he used to do. Sinners saved. Drunkards coming to Christ. He can do it. Those 3 things is what it takes. And I trust you'll do it. God bless you, people. Bow your head for prayer.
Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to not only bless this message, but, Lord, may we put it to practice. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Many times people get hard and bitter. They've asked and asked, and people just keep going and on. It seems like they don't hear us, but they do. And the Holy Spirit of God convicts them, though they may not move. At least we've done what we're to do. Help us to keep going. Lord, I pray that anyone here tonight, not sure they're saved, that tonight would be that night they'd trust your Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that hasn't followed Lord Believer's Baptism, they'll do that. Those that need to join the church, pray God this would be a wonderful night tonight. And Lord, now speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know, everyone stand. Everyone standing here tonight, and you say, "Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I am not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, and I'd like to know that." Would you step out of that seat right now as the music plays? You come right now and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Here tonight, say, "Preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism. You come at this time." Tonight and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve God at." You come at this time. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about being a soul winner, being going over to that neighbor's house. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? There's a neighbor waiting for you. Somebody's waiting to hear you tell them about Jesus. Like that one man said, "Nobody ever told me how to get saved. Nobody ever told me." Yeah, I want to do that. Can you hear tonight? You say, "Preacher, I am not saved. I just don't know that." Why don't you come? Three getting baptized, maybe you'd like to be the fourth. Why don't you come? Follow Lord and Believer's Baptism. What a wonderful thing that is. So in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here tonight, say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church." You come. That's your invitation.